Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And you're listening to episode 846 of Gamertag Radio. This is Paris, and I'm here with Pete.
Yo, what's up?
Well, Danny's not here because Danny is in Washington, D.C. doing stuff that we can't talk about yet, but God bless him in our nation's capital. Say hello to our president for us. I hope you have a great time. But yeah, it's just going to be Pete and I on this episode, and Danny is off on assignment, so he will be back. And we already have so much content in the books. I know he's recording a bunch of content while he's there with certain people, so I'm actually not sure when the three of us are going to get back together again to actually do a podcast proper. But don't worry, we have a ton of content already banked and which will be coming out. So thank you for everyone for listening to this. Thank you to everyone that's in our Twitch chat right now that is watching this live. And Pete, I want to start the show off this way.
Okay.
Well, actually, before I even start it off, Danny, let everyone know where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And of course, you can find the podcast. We are a part of Audio Boom. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us Spotify. I believe we're on... Are we on Pandora yet? If not, pretty soon we'll be on Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, ColecoVision, Vetrex, and Television. What else from the 80s? TurboGrafx-16, the Atom. We're everywhere, okay?
Nintendo Robot, yeah. He's got it.
Yeah, Rob the Robot got it. You could cheat and just use the controller instead of Rob, because that's what I did in Jarmite. But yeah, so back to it. So I want to start the show off this way. Anthem. And... I think I have talked Anthem enough for me personally. I've already given my opinion on the podcast. I even tweeted out that I was going to wait a couple weeks to put out a video with kind of my final thoughts. And I'm going to leave it at that. It's just to the point where I almost feel like Anthem is so polarizing that I just don't want to talk about it anymore. If you enjoy Anthem, God bless you. Enjoy the game. It is your money. Knock yourself out. Have a blast. If you are not enjoying Anthem, that is your choice as well, because it, again, is your money. Do as you wish. But what I'm realizing is just monitoring social media, monitoring YouTube, just some of my favorite content creators that are talking about it. Doesn't matter what they say. They can't win. You can't win at this point. It has become toxic. Either side is just gone to the extreme of, well, F you for liking it or F you for hating it. So I don't want to talk about that game anymore. I just don't. My issues with it are well documented. And like I said, I will just give a final summary in a couple weeks. I actually started playing the Xbox version of it since it's officially out on launch now. I did a quick stream a couple days ago, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just going to focus my energies on the things that I enjoy discussing, and Anthem is no longer something I enjoy to discuss because it's just toxic. So, Pete, I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that.
No, the last thing I think we want to do is make this Anthem Sucks Radio, right? It has its good points, and as a fan of gaming, it's new, it's fresh, it's something different. It may not be for everybody, and for those that it is for, enjoy it. Enjoy the hell out of it. You're going to have a lot of stuff coming soon. For now, it's just not in a state for me, myself, personally. I actually have an itch to want to play it, but I want to wait. I'm going to take that road and say, let's just hold off, wait till it's got enough stuff to play. And then when it does have its Division 1.8 moment, jump in head first, you know, and just have a blast. At the end of the day, video games has started to become that with, you know, which is different from what it originally was supposed to be intended for. Fun. Have fun. Play the games you want to play on the platform you want to play it, in the format you want to play it, with the friends or randoms that you want to play with. Just have a good time. If it's not ready for prime time, or if it's not ready for you personally, take a break. Play something else. Go play Apex with me.
What? No, well said. Well said. I could not have said that better myself. And transitioning from Anthem into Apex, yes. I have to say this. I've joked about it enough that I have to officially say I have not played that game. I have not picked up a controller, a mouse, a keyboard, nothing. I have not a tin can and a string, nothing to play that game. I've watched streams. I watch you play on Twitch. I was even watching our good friend Khalif playing. Yes. It looks fun as hell. It's weird that for whatever reason, I just have not played it yet.
It's to the point
now I don't want to just randomly jump in. I want to make it like an event.
the first time I play.
Yeah, so we got to figure out, we got to schedule out some time. I just got to jump into stream and just do it. First time I ever play it, has to be on stream.
For sure. Yeah, I think one of the great things about that game, and it's been evidenced, I know the other night when Khalif was playing, you know, he's been mentioning he wants to transition more to keyboard and mouse just to get familiar with it and comfortable with it. He was playing with a controller. Our good friend David Too Sly, former community manager for Gamertag Radio, we play with him all the time. He plays with a controller and he does well, you know? So it's one of those few games where I'm not going to say that there's, you know, that it's got a preference for, but if anything, it's pretty agnostic with, you know, it's pretty agnostic in the way that it doesn't matter whether you're playing with a controller, you're playing with a mouse and keyboard. There might be some instances in where, yes, you may not have the advantage because you may just be playing against a more skilled player, but right. for the most part, man, that game is frenetic. It's stupid fast. It's hilarious. I mean, we play games, you know, we've been playing and there's been times where we've won in 18 minutes. It's quick, fast. You're in, you play. Action is nonstop. There might be some lulls in between when, you know, you're in between circle compressions. But other than that, it's just fun. I've been having a blast. I've gotten this close to uninstalling PUBG because I don't want to play it anymore. And that's the craziest thing. I still love the game, but right now Apex has my heart. It's my bae. And yeah, man, you want to join us? Come play. I'll be playing probably tonight on the stream.
Yeah, we'll figure out something. I'll definitely give you enough heads up so we can communicate it out so people can watch me probably get shot in the first two minutes and die. But speaking on BR, just as a whole, we just kind of transition into that genre because you mentioned PUBG and I'm forgetting the way it was put now. I'm going to screw it up, but someone was basically equating like starting off with PUBG, going into Fortnite, and here we are with Apex. And it was just such a great analogy. I can't remember it now. If I remember it later, I'll bring it up. But the point of it is we're seeing the evolution of that genre of gaming and how much of an effect it's had on the industry as a whole. Because you look at traditional PvP, no one's talking about that anymore. Everything surrounded around the Battle Royale mode. And what may have looked potentially as just a fad or something that our kids might get into with like Fortnite, we're seeing another evolution or resurgence of it with Apex. And like I said, full disclosure, I have not played Apex. I'm literally going by what people like yourself say, what I see on social media, that it is an absolute blast. It is easy to pick up and hard to master. It sounds like that's kind of the way that it works, to where I'm seeing now there's even tournaments that are being talked about, you know, etc. It's going to be a big thing. You know, Respawn for sure has a hit on their hands, and they're going to continue to support it and curate it as we move forward into 2019. The question I have for you is, like I said, we look at something like PUBG, we look at something like Fortnite, we look at even a game like The Division 2, which is coming out, which potentially or could have a battle royale mode. You look at Destiny. Do they try and do something with a battle royale mode? What other games could you? We know Gears 5 is coming later this year. Do they? I mean, look, they started the whole horde mode thing, right? Do they jump in with a battle royale thing, right? I mean, do you see other people trying to replicate what Apex has done here at the start of the year, and we're just going to see just be in? I can't even talk. I, Ebonics, I'm from St. Petersburg, Florida. Sorry, we're just going to see a ton. I tried to use a big word and I failed. I was like, wait. I was like, tap out before you try. Are you going to see other companies try? We're just going to be have a ton of these BR games by the end of the year. What do you think?
I think, you know, I think you made a great point there with, you know, there's so many other BR games. There's a lot of games that are scheduled to come out now that lend themselves perfectly towards BR. The Division 2 is a great opportunity. You've got the Dark Zone, which already has the PvP kind of environment. And I think it's fantastic. You already know that there's, what is it, DZ62, which was that gas that was supposed to help, but it actually did more damage. Right there, you have the components for that circle compression where the gas starts to creep in closer, forcing the players to get in. It's your battle royale mode. Whether Ubisoft and Massive are doing that, if you are, woo, fantastic. If you're not, please do so. You have, I mean, hell, Battlefield's coming out in a couple weeks, and nobody knows anything about Firefight.
Thank you for saying that. I knew I was forgetting to bring something up. What the frick? I even tweeted that yesterday. Why are they not talking about this? Why? It's supposed to come out in March. I was at the event where they just, hey, Firestorm, March, da 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 da. Nothing. We're 2 weeks away and nothing. We're a week away from March and nothing. Why are they not talking about this? But sorry, I interrupted. Please continue.
No, that's fine. That's fine. And that goes to show you how little I have in anticipation for that. I called it Firefight. I don't even know the name of the mode. It's Firestorm, I think you just called it?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Firestorm. I'm a kid of the 80s. You tell me Firestorm, I'm thinking of the hot redhead from Amazing Spider-Man and Friends, okay? That's just me, okay? but going back into Battle Royales, I mean, like you said, we've already seen the esports version with PUBG. You know, we've seen them in Katowice and many other countries for Battle Royale tournaments. I'm glad you brought up tournaments because Fortnite, in an effort now to start drawing bigger name streamers towards their tournaments, they have that $100 million tournament now for 2019. They just announced earlier this week. The top 100 players and the top 50 duos, and they're offering them $30,000 cash just to walk in the door. And they're doing this to make sure that, because streamers don't want to leave their streams because that's their primary bread and butter. That's how they make their money day in and day out. So in order to entice them to leave their streams, their money-making opportunities, they're paying them outright to bring them into these tournaments. I understand why, because you want to bring the name brand and the notoriety, but for them to throw money goes to show you just how much Apex has changed the game because now people don't want to leave that. Apex within a week and a half had its own Twitch Rivals tournament, which Ninja won. I think Shroud and his guys won second place, and I can't remember who hit third. But within 2 weeks, they've already had a tournament. Nobody is playing Call of Duty Blackout. Nobody else is, you know, I mean, right now, the big three in terms of Battle Royales is Apex, and Fortnite. That's the insane part about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't mind. Me personally, seeing more Battle Royales, you know me, I've been a big fan of it since I first found out about PUBG. What is it, almost 2 years now, 2+ years now. So yeah, I want to see more. But if they're going to do that, I want to see how they change the game, bringing it in, not just copycatting and copy-pasting what other people are doing. That's why I think Apex did a fantastic job, because they brought in a Battle Royale using their modes, but with a twist. You know, being able to respawn, you know, being able to fly, being able to take the balloon and redeploy to another area so you can advance or get away from, you know, the circle compression. Little critical gameplay components like that, but not fundamentally changing BR. So again, I'm curious to see what Battlefield's going to do. I'm not looking forward to it, but I hope what they do changes it enough to draw eyes towards it, because it's a fantastic game in and of itself, but let's just see.
I completely agree, because when I look at Battlefield and I think about just the toy box, the sandbox that you could have for a BR mode in the Battlefield universe with all the vehicle, just dude, it's tailor made for it. It would be a lot of fun, but you know, it's funny. And I can't remember who said this to me on Twitter now. So apologies for not remembering your name, because I know it's someone that's a part of our community, and thank you for being a part of GTR community. But he asked me, about Battlefield spinning off. It was Kenny. Kenny did. I actually met him in real life here in Temecula at one of the wineries, Wilson's Creek. But shout out to Kenny. He said to me, do you think Battlefield should spin off the BR mode into its own free-to-play thing? Which I then responded and said, I don't think they will. The same as I don't think that Call of Duty will do it either with blackout mode, because it would be an incentive to buy the game. I actually disagree with myself now, so I'm changing my mind. I
the
think,
moonwalk.
Yeah, yep, straight moonwalk. I think, yeah, it's got, obviously going to come out with part of Battlefield 5 this time, the same as Blackout came out with Blops 4 late last year. But I do think the next iteration of Call of Duty, which we will get at the end of this year, is going to rumor have a single player back in it, right? It'll probably still have a zombies mode. You have a traditional multiplayer. That is Activision's opportunity to try and copy what EA has done with Apex now. Spin out Blackout into its own separate thing, free to play, do the same, you know, the same free to play pay, you know, model that you can do with the cosmetic stuff, and do it that way. It makes a lot of sense, right? So then maybe, see, here's where EA confuses the hell out of me. Does EA do the same? Because they already have a free-to-play Battle Royale with Apex. Do they try to do the same thing with the next iteration of Battlefield? Or do they just keep it a part of Battlefield 6 or whatever it's going to be called? I'm actually confused as to what EA would do. But it makes sense for Activision to do it, because you can still have your traditional $60 Call of Duty single-player, multiplayer, zombie mode, and then have the Call of Duty free-to-play spun off from that blackout mode, where they can add new maps to all that stuff, and it's free, and try and build up their stream audience, which you would imagine they would do the same thing that Respawn did, get a bunch of content creators out, have them play it, and then just stealth launch it. All right, here we go. It's free. Here you go. You know, and try to copy what Apex did. I would imagine. I don't see them doing a huge marketing campaign leading up to a free to play, but you know, blackout mode for Call of Duty. So again, what do you think?
Well, I know, and this is, you know, hashtag Danny Secrets, Danny Q the music. But I know he had been talking. I think he mentioned it at what show or two ago, or maybe it was on one of the one-on-one, the daily conversations, where you or him had mentioned bringing in pro players into a game early Halo. In the development cycle, so that they can start saying, look, this is how you start curating and gearing it up towards them. 343 now has, you know, Richie Hines, a former, you know, former majors champion and former professional Halo player, working or helping the developers work on the title. Halo, which is synonymous. This is the first esports competition in my personal, you know, in my personal experience, right? I know that there's been StarCraft and other games like that. But for me, Halo was, you know, MLG. That was when you talked about, you know, PvP, competitive multiplayer. That's what people started off with. And to have someone who's been there, you know, that long now as a part of, you know, is part of the development cycle, you know, 343 and Halo is going to be at least opening eyes, or at least eyeballs are going to be looking towards that title. So I think we're going to, I hope to see more things similar to this. You jumped back. The gears are smoking here. So what happened?
I got a Danny Secrets now that I'm thinking about it. Cause like you said, Halo was the one that I was forgetting to bring up as far as jumping into the BR genre. Like you just said, they're hiring I'm from the South. I'm sorry. and no offense to anybody from the South, but I'm from the deep South of St. Petersburg. They're now getting pro players in at 343 to obviously make Halo Infinite the best that it can possibly be. Now, here's my crazy, wacky theory. What if at E3 2019 this year, Phil Spencer comes out and says that while we work on the next edition of Halo to make it the best it can be, blah, blah, blah. Until then, here's Halo BR. Free to play. Knock yourself out. Hmm. And they actually give the warning that, look, we're using this so that you can help the community, can help us you know, basically weapon balancing, just everything. In other words, we're giving you this free version of Halo. It's a BR mode. It's going to be a lot of fun to play. It's going to have bugs. It's going to have issues. And your feedback as far as helping us with tuning weapons and everything is going to help shape what Halo Infinite is going to be at the launch of Xbox Scarlet.
Interesting.
But it's for, why not? Why not go that outside the box? It's available on Xbox One. It's available on PC. It's available on the Switch. You know what I mean? So why not? Why not do something like that? You know, if you come out and communicate that, hey, we're giving you this for free. We're letting you know this isn't going to be perfect because we're using it so that the community itself gets to help make Halo Infinite the best that it can be. Your feedback is going to be essential during this process. Don't even do loot boxes. Don't do nothing. Just say, hey, we're basically doing a 1-year beta with this Halo BR, right? We're not trying to make money off of this. We just want you to jump in early, be able to play, get a feel for the weapons, let us know what works, what doesn't work, because by the time we get to holiday 2020, we can now have tuned weapons ready to go for that version of Halo. And then we can come out with the quote unquote 1.0 version of Halo Infinite BR, which again will stay free to play. Now we add in our loot boxes. That's my crazy theory that will probably never happen. But if it did, God damn it, it would be amazing. How about that?
I hadn't even thought about that. And that actually could work. You know, it satiates the appetite for those looking forward to Halo coming out of E3. It builds up the hype and the anticipation for the full mode because everybody loves playing the single mode campaign. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, every time a Halo has dropped, I'm always jumping into the campaign and then I jump into multiplayer for a little bit. And I'll admit, I haven't always been a multiplayer person for Halo, but I always jump into the campaign. There's always a campaign, you know, progression for me. So I don't see why that would be a bad idea. I think that'd be a pretty fantastic idea to help satiate the appetite, but at the same time, building up that anticipation for the campaign and for more, because you don't drop everything. People are going to want to have their TDM. They're going to want to have their Slayer moments. They're going to want to have their Capture the Hill moments, but you give them just enough to whet that appetite in the form of Battle Royale. I think that's a fantastic idea. I like it. I'm just trying to think, how would you compress your circles? Like what would be, I guess leave that as the unknown. You know, leave that kind of like the unknown as the lead in and you find out what it is in the campaign.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think this is probably not happening. This is just speculation, talk radio live on Gamertag Radio. Yeah, this is just a crazy old man on freaking the internet talking, but it would be a way for them to have a true beta test of what Halo Infinite's going to be without ruining the game as far as spoiling anything on the story, but we kind of get a sneak peek of what the world's going to look like, what the weapons are going to look like. You know, this engine that they're, I keep forgetting to look up what the name of the engine is because there's a new engine out for Halo Infinite, and kind of get people talking about Halo again as we lead up to the next generation of the Xbox. That's extremely ambitious of what I'm saying, but something even on a smaller scale, again, just to get people talking about Halo again early on,
Slip Space
isn't a bad idea. There you go. Thank you. Slip Space. I knew it was something Halo-y that they called the engine. But that actually transitions into another thing. You know, like I mentioned, the Switch. Obviously, the rumors are flying right now that Microsoft and Nintendo are going to partner up and we're going to get Game Pass on the Nintendo Switch as an app. And we're actually going to have some native games, Xbox games, on the Nintendo Switch. The early rumors are Cuphead and Ori and the Blind Forest, which to me, both of those are just no-brainers to be on the Switch. We're hearing it from multiple sources at this point that it's going to get announced at E3. It'll be available this year. I tend to actually believe that this is really going to happen, and I think it's a win-win for Xbox, Nintendo, and us, the consumers. Not hurting anything for them to be able to do this. It's, you know, obviously the bigger games like Gears 5 and Forza and things like that. I know there's some rumors that saying they would do some ports of those. Then there's also the rumors that are saying they're going to leverage Project X Cloud, I guess their streaming service, whatever it's called, to be able to play some of the bigger games. I'm down for that too, because, you know, I've been saying to Danny for the longest, when we get to E3 2019, I think every big game we see, they're going to say is streaming. It's not going to be running on local physical hardware. It's going to be streaming that they're going to show us. They're going to demo a lot of these games using the streaming service. If you want journalists and influencers that are going to be at E3 to actually believe that the streaming is going to work, got to let us have hands on with it at that event. Obviously have other events outside of E3 as well to show off the technology. I think the biggest thing that they could do if this partnership is real, now that Reggie has retired, shout out to him. I mean, pioneer, obviously, in this industry, he will be missed. But when you think about it, he's been around a long time. So it's actually not surprising that he's retiring at this point. But is Dan Bowser his name? Is his replacement?
Yes. And I think that's hilarious that Bowser is taking over Nintendo of America.
Yeah. And did you see he had that picture where he was holding up the thing, you know, he was taking over. If you look in the background of his office, he had Mario and Luigi tied up. Thought that was brilliant.
Yes.
But back to the point I was making. So I think a great thing would be if this is true and this is going to be a part of E3, you kick off the show with Phil Spencer standing out there with a Nintendo Switch in his hand and you have Dan Bowser come out and they stand united talking about this partnership that they're going to have. You like I said, kick off the show. Highlight Game Pass. This is what we're doing with Game Pass moving forward. Here are the games that you can natively play on the Nintendo Switch, on the go. Like I said, show off Cuphead, because I know there's that DLC that's coming out. Ori 2 is coming out. Show that on the Switch. Highlight it. Let people know that this is a good thing for gaming, period. Not just good for Xbox or not just good for Nintendo, but if you're a fan of gaming, hell, you already got a Switch most likely anyways, you know, and for Xbox, they're saying, look, this further promotes, it's not about we are demanding that you buy our hardware, our new hardware that's going to come out in 2020. We don't care anymore. We just care that you play our games and subscribe to our services, because that is truly what Microsoft is turning into. There could even be a day where I'm not going to say they're going to go completely third party, but they're pretty much going quasi third party by doing this. All their games are going to be on the PC. They're basically saying you're going to be able to play their games on a Switch. And if you want, buy our hardware and play it on that too. You know, the only outlier on this is going to be PlayStation. And of course, PlayStation is not going to partner in this. It just doesn't make sense for them because their model is working. They're the leader in the industry. And I see no reason for them to change that going into PlayStation 5. But for Nintendo and Xbox, I love it. I already own a Switch. I already have Game Pass. If you're telling me that I could download a Game Pass app and I can play Game Pass games on my Switch wherever I am, sign me up. It's brilliant. What do you think?
So, and we had this chat and we had this conversation in the chat. I'm glad it came up so we can talk about it, because I want to work my head around it, because I don't understand how they're going to bring that up. Are they going to force people to go through two paywalls to be able to play that?
I don't think so. I just real quick on that. Because it doesn't make sense, because Nintendo Online is only $20 a year. It's not this huge moneymaker for Nintendo. So if you truly want people to embrace being able, because again, this is a win for Nintendo, because potentially you're going to have loyal Xbox fans or customers that don't own a Switch right now that say, I'll just pick up a Switch to be my mobile streaming device instead of my phone, right? So for Nintendo, they win if people buy their hardware. Now people could potentially go, I will check out Nintendo Online. I will go buy Mario Odyssey or Zelda or Metroid or whatever, you know, big game's going to be out at the end of the year, right? But I still get to play my Xbox games too. But if you also say, and I'm forcing you to spend $20 a year on Nintendo Online, that might put some people off. So I don't think they're going to force the double dip of paywalls, because I think it'll just be a natural thing for people to do that aren't already doing it, to say, hey, I already have a Switch. It's only $20 a year. Why not? I'll buy it.
So that leads me more then towards, does Nintendo have the infrastructure in place to fully be able to support this? And that's my concern, because they're still in the early infancy with regards to online.
Yes, because again, they're not. If it's just a standalone Game Pass app, you're going to go through Microsoft's infrastructure. You're going through Azure. you're not going to go through Nintendo because you're not being forced to sign into Nintendo's authentication services and go through Nintendo's infrastructure to then gate you back into the Microsoft infrastructure to access their games. If it's a standalone app, look, we're IT, you know how this works.
I know.
But if it's a standalone app and it's just literally connecting to the internet and then authenticating into Microsoft's infrastructure, they never touch Nintendo.
So basically using your Nintendo ID, your online friend code as your authentication.
No, not even that. That's what I'm saying. You don't even need a friend code. You're literally, it's okay. Think of it this way. Hulu is on the Switch right now, right?
Right.
I don't sign in anything on Nintendo to access Hulu. Why would that be any different to log into Game Pass? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious. Trust me,
that was my first thought though. What you're saying, like, oh my god, is this going through Nintendo? This is not going to work.
Exactly. And then I guess my last question, and again, we're all speculating because we still don't have all the details, right? But is the hardware of the Switch enough to be able to buffer / cache all of that stuff coming into it? Like,
yes,
we all know that, you know, streaming at some point is still going to take up internal resources on whatever device you're on, right? Yes, you can use the power of the cloud. I hate that comment, but you can use the power of the cloud to power your gaming experience. But at some point, resources on the local device still need to be used. Is there enough hardware space? Is it fast enough? And is it not going to create a bottleneck when you're playing? Because the last thing I want to do is, if I'm doing Ori, which is not an intensive game, you know, and internal resources, you know, CPU, compute, et cetera, is it going to be good enough to stream that and play it?
I think so. Because remember, the Switch, for all intents and purposes, is an Xbox 360. You know, a quote unquote, probably even a little more powerful than a 360. And when you think of it as just a dummy box, it has enough memory. It has enough memory and hard drive space to be able to cache that and do what it needs to do. So I honestly don't think that's an issue. Now, you bring up the case of an Ori. They're talking about, again, rumored, that will be a native game. That would be a game that you could actually download onto your Switch and play. And I would say, again, it is as powerful, if not more powerful, than an Xbox 360, which at a 720p resolution when you're mobile should be more than fine to be able to play that game, you know, at 30 frames per second or whatever it's going to be. I think those kind of games, like I said, the Oris, the Cubheads, you know, the smaller type game should work fine natively. And again, I'll give a shout out to Danny. Danny was bringing up, you bring a platform in Banjo-Kazooie to the Switch. Like they announced at E3, we got a new Banjo-Kazooie, a new platform in Banjo-Kazooie. Obviously, it's going to be on Xbox One. Something like that you could do native on the Switch. Just look at Mario Odyssey. We know the Switch is more than capable of doing a AAA type platformer, which competes with any game in the industry right now. So I think that the hardware is fine. Not to mention, let's remember, and I don't think this is too much of a factor because obviously it needs to run on all Switches. The rumor is Nintendo's going to drop a new version of the Switch this year as well, which will probably have a spec bump in it to some degree. But at the same time, it's obviously going to need to be backwards compatible to all the existing Switch games as well. And the old Switch needs to be future-proof to be able to play any new Switch games as well. But yeah, your overall thing, I think it'll be fine. Again, I'm actually very excited about this announcement because I think we all win. Who loses in this? Realistically, who loses? Nobody.
So
if you're complaining about this, then you're too loyal to one platform, in my opinion. Just get over it. How about that?
So my next theory here, and I think this is more of a theory. I don't think this will ever see the light of day simply because, and it's not because of animosity, but I just think it's the way Sony has been with keeping their players or their constituents on their platform. If this successfully works, right? We see Nintendo and Xbox, you know, somewhat form half of Voltron. Do you see Microsoft reaching out to Sony and saying, look, you've seen this work on the Nintendo platform. Can we do this on yours? We know that we've heard him say it last year that no, we prefer to keep our players on our platform, on the best platform on earth. Do you see Microsoft and Sony having that same discussion? It's not full crossplay, but it's an opportunity to bring Sony players the Xbox experience by allowing them to play games such as Halo and others.
Hey, how did the dad say it on Friday when Debo knocked out his son? No, that is not you. Look, and look, we know Phil Spencer and Sean Layden, all these guys in the industry are personal friends. But from a business standpoint, there is no way in hell PlayStation is going to do that.
No.
PlayStation is like, we're the leader. We're doubling down on our hardware, our ecosystem, our games. You know, we have a huge portfolio of exclusive games that people want to play. We ain't partnering with nothing. No, we're PlayStation. No, I don't see it happening. It doesn't make sense for them. Why would they? It makes sense for us. I would love to see it, but I don't see PlayStation partnering with Nintendo and bringing their stuff over there or partnering with Xbox or anything. If anything, I just hope, which we've already seen, thanks to Fortnite putting enough pressure on them, they continue to allow more crossplay stuff so that as we go into the next generation of gaming, again, it doesn't matter what platform you're on. If you have a favorite third-party game that you love to play, again, Apex, how freaking awesome would it be for Apex that I'm playing it on Xbox, PC, PlayStation, Adobe Audition that you just flash in front of my screen and anywhere else, but you get my point, where it's just on any platform to play. That's what I care about. Like, again, Destiny 3. I want to play Destiny 3. I play it on the PC, but I'm playing with everybody or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So let's just get to that world first before we start worrying about them partnering up with anything else, which, like fair I said, enough. I think is a long ways off.
True that.
So, all right. So anything else on this Nintendo Switch partnership?
No, I think we've been, it's wow, fantastic start of the show. Wow, this has been free flow conversation. It's been fantastic. I like this.
Well, Danny's not here, of course. That's how it works.
Crazy harebrained schemes and interruptions. Yeah. Fantastic conversation.
Danny's secrets. Actually, let's do this. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Let's pay some bills and play an ad. And when we come back, let's just jump into some fan mail.
Word.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Shout out to the good folks over at XIQ for sponsoring the Gamertag Radio podcast. Podcasts are a great source of information and entertainment. And if you're like me, you don't always remember where you heard something. Perfect example. Danny, just, you know, about 10 or 15 shows ago, talked about how Xbox and Nintendo would collaborate and soon you'd have the app on the Switch. It's actually happening. And it took Danny about an hour to go back through all these different shows to talk about it. Can you imagine though, if you were listening to it, all you had to do is pause it, hit the note button and say, save that. Now it'll save the last 30 seconds of what you heard on that podcast and store it so you can come back. You can even have it emailed to you and you always have that information at your fingertips. So imagine being able to do that with every podcast you listen to. Notecast from XIQ does exactly that. It's a game changer. You can use it to subscribe and listen to all of your favorite podcasts. And you can also use it to save just the little portions of the snippets whenever you want. And it'll even transcribe it for you so you can have the text version of it instead of having to go through audio. So if whether it's a great conversation, story, joke, tip or whatever, Notecast is there and will help you retain information like never before. It's an absolute must-have podcast app and the perfect cure for in one ear and out the other. You can get this on all platforms, iOS, Android, and you can download it right now. All you have to do is go to notecast.app. That's notecast.app. And on top of that, got a special offer for all of our listeners. Try it for free for 60 days. No credit card required. Just enter our code GTR when completing your sign up and you'll have it. Again, that's notecast.app and use our code GTR to try it free for 60 days.
All right, Gamertag Radio listeners, we need your support. We plan to go to E3 2019, but we can't go without your support. Head over now to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. And support the show. You could donate if you want, or there's another way for you to support GTR. Go to store.gamertagradio.com and buy t-shirts, hoodies, stickers. Please spread the word. Enjoy the show.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
right, and we're back. So, like I said, let's go ahead and jump into some fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Wow, Pete don't even do it anymore. You're supposed to go fan mail. You don't even do it anymore.
Fan mail. Oh, wait. Hold up.
Fan mail. There you go. All right. Let's read the first one. This is coming from our Discord channel. So again, if you are not a part of our Discord community, that is what discord.gg/GTR. Join up. We have a thriving, active community, and we have a channel called Fan Mail where you can actually leave us questions for the show if your heart desires. So I'm going to just read a couple of them here really quick. This one comes from King Wyke. Hope I'm saying that correctly. He goes, hey, GTR. I heard your call to send in some questions, so I have one that should be right up Pete and Paris's alley, especially. I finally bit the bullet and bought myself a new gaming PC. Having been an almost exclusive console gamer for most of my gaming career, I know there have been plenty of great gaming experiences on PC that may have never been on my radar. So my question is this, what have I missed? Are there any games you often recommend to new PC players? What have been some of your favorite PC exclusives? I would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks. I have thought about this one for the longest, and I can't think of anything I would recommend that is quote unquote PC exclusive, because we're kind of been in this era the past few years where everything that hits PC also hits console in one form or another. So there's great games like obviously like Dead Cells. You can go back, play the Orange Box, you know, all the Half-Life stuff, things like that. Even more recently, you know, Gwent, The Witcher Tales, which I've been playing on PC versus playing on console. But again, it's on console as well that I recommend. I know there's so many RPGs out there that you could deep dive into. And my apologies for blanking on names. But Pete, do you have any PC exclusive suggestions for him to check out? And I'm going to take that as a no, because Pete didn't say
anything. I am fully muted. Sorry. We'll start off that one. Damn it. I was hoping to get through a whole show without getting muted. All right. So we're going to start off with the first one. Biggest one, probably in my personal opinion, League of Legends. You can't go PC only.
You're right. MOBAs. You're right.
You can't do. You can't talk PC only games without including the GOAT right now, League of Legends. It's huge. World of Warcraft, Legion is the latest expansion. There's another one that'd be fantastic and a great opportunity to walk right in. League of Legends, I think, is an ideal opportunity because it's free to play. You don't need to pay. You know, obviously with World of Warcraft, you're eventually going to get an XP gate. And, you know, if you pay the monthly service, I believe you can, it allows you to start, you know, gaining XP. But League of Legends, fantastic game in and of itself. CSGO, if you want to have competitive first person shooter experience. Oh,
Team Fortress, duh.
Team Fortress. Yeah, but you could kind of get Team Fortress in the Orange Box on any platform at this point.
God, that's true. See, everything keeps coming back. Yeah, a lot of stuff's on console.
Let's see, Arma 3, sticking with the shooter environment. It's where DayZ came from. Obviously, the build of that eventually became a Battle Royale mod. So, I mean, shout out to the folks at Bohemia Interactive for that one. The Stanley Parable is a phenomenal game on PC. Allows you to play it on PC, Linux, and I think Mac now as well. So there's a great one. And a new one that's been out for this past year, Frostpunk.
I have not heard of that. What is Frostpunk?
All right. So Frostpunk is a real-time strategy game. I've seen our good friend Matt, aka Medic, on his stream. I watch him play it all the time. It's like a resource building game where you're trying to, your people are caught in a blizzard post-apocalyptic world, and you're basically just trying to build, gather resources and build out your community to survive the long winter that's coming. And the winter is typically like 100 something degrees below zero. And at some point, a monster storm comes through, dropping the weather, you know, to like negative 200 degrees. So you have to be able to build, you know, support, food. It's just a fantastic game. I think they came up for Indie Game of the Year during the Game Awards. They didn't win, unfortunately, but they just had a recent expansion that came out a couple of weeks ago. It's a lot of fun. Really, really well done. The graphics are beautiful. The storyline is incredible. You can name your characters. So if you wanted to call them Pete and send them out hunting for food, you can bring in people. You can say no. You don't want to accept new people coming into your city. You just want to focus on your own. I mean, there's so many different story arcs that you can go towards, and it's dynamic. It builds dynamically. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So if those right there would probably be my top five or six games for people to play.
One other one, and because I can't remember if I don't think it's on console. I've never played it on console, but another one is the Talos Principle from the guys that made Serious Sam. I was playing that a few years ago. I don't think that's on console at all. I've only played it on PC. But anyways, that's a fantastic puzzle game as well, which you can play like kind of in a first person mode, and requires
PS4.
Something. Is it on PS4?
Yeah, it's on PS4. That.
See, a lot of this stuff comes to console now. Again, obviously, don't listen to me. Listen to Pete, because he knows way more than I do. I don't even know why I wasn't even thinking of MOBAs. Of course, MOBAs. And I'll never recommend an MMO, because if I get into World of Warcraft, I get divorced. So I can't recommend that to anyone, because I don't want you to get divorced.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, Pete. See, it's funny, because like obviously we got like Division 2 about to come. There's all these games. I always default to playing games on PC now, because again, it's the highest end hardware, highest fidelity, highest frames per second that you're going to get. Obviously I have the setup here to support it and all that. So just games in general, that's where I tend to play. But you know, like Pete has pointed out, there are a lot of great experiences that are exclusive to that platform that you can check out as well. So
yeah. Shout out to Crow Team for Talos Principle. They're the ones that did the Serious Sam series. And they announced a couple of years ago that they are working on Talos Principle 2. So that'd be fantastic. I can't wait for that. That'd be dope.
Yeah, man. That game was so good. Now, another a tiny game, and I think this came on console, but again, I only played it on PC. I actually was playing it on Linux, is Rogue Legacy. That was it did come to console. That's another one. That's a smaller indie game. I think you can find it dirt cheap on PC right now. I'm pretty sure it's probably on some indie store somewhere you can get on console as well. But yeah, thank you for that email. Appreciate it. And we don't talk about PC enough, I think, in more recent times. We kind of just talk about it like, oh, we're playing a game on PC, but we haven't really deep dive into any tech specs, which again, if you go to our Discord channel, we have a couple channels there where we kind of give recommendations on PC builds, as well as, you know, recommendations or tech deals. So like if we see a good deal on like PC parts or just gaming stuff in general. So again, join our Discord channel. We have a lot of fun over there. But thank you for that email. And let's go to another one before we jump into voicemails. This one is from Cammy, and it says, is not having cross save cross progression a mistake for Apex Legends? My scenario, I have Apex on both Xbox and PC. I have some friends I play with on Xbox, and I have friends I play with on PC. My issue is that I don't know what account I want to get the battle pass for in the future. I play both equally. I know they plan on adding cross platform in the future, but if I play PC, my Xbox friends are at a disadvantage. If I play Xbox with my PC friends, then I'm at a disadvantage. What Fortnite did with the accounts was amazing, because I could play PC, Xbox, Switch, and mobile all in one account, and rank up my battle pass from those devices while each device was input match for fair matchmaking. Let me know what you guys think. I completely agree with you. And I know Respawn has talked about it, like you said, that it's coming in the future. But what you're detailing is the problem that they have to solve, so that anyone that's already committed to one platform is currently playing and getting that progression or bought a battle pass, being able to transfer that to the other platform and basically just have one unique single sign on, so to speak. So it doesn't matter the platform you're on. You can just keep playing with your friends.
Right. So they will eventually go cross-platform. I know they've talked about it. It won't happen at launch, obviously, but they do have plans for it. Cross save, I think, or cross purchases will not happen. They won't, because the way that the game was built initially doesn't allow for it. They actually they talked about it. I think it was Drew something. He's one of the producers on the game. He talked about it right at or about launch. Unfortunately, If you, for example, if you buy something on the PS4, you cannot transfer that over to the Xbox or the PC platform and vice versa in any other, you know, direction. So if you're going to pick one that you're going to throw the wallet at, you know, that's where your stuff is going to stick, right? Unless you're a wallet warrior like me sometimes. But yeah, there is going to be cross-platform, similar to the way that you see Fortnite, but, you know, cross purchases or cross progress, unfortunately, it's not going to happen.
Well, there you go. Again, I don't know nothing about the game because I ain't played it yet. So I'm sure once I start playing and having fun, I'll start cursing about that too. But until that day, matter of fact, here's why. So again, and I won't go too in depth on this, but I am an EA game changer. I know there's the nonsense going on right now with that program, but which I think is malarkey, but that's a daily conversation. Let's put it that way. But the point is, I'm an EA game changer. And when Apex first came out, they did give me a whole bunch of credits and stuff like that. Right. I haven't played it yet, so I haven't applied it to anything or whatever. But the point I'm trying to make is I want to play with Trey at some point, and we're probably going to play together on Xbox, I do believe, because I know they're coming with a doubles mode and all that. That'll probably wind up being my primary platform. Of course, I'll play on PC and all that too, but that's probably going to be the primary place I play Apex, because I'm going to want to play with Trey. I'm going to want to do doubles, and then I'm going to be talking trash that, look, me and a 13-year-old boy just kicked your tuckus, or probably the opposite because I stink. But anyways, the point is I'm trying to make is that will be a problem for me when eventually I start playing it on a routine basis. So, yeah, that's unfortunate to hear. But hopefully they can revise this at some point and, like I said, adopt the Fortnite model. I guess we'll have to wait and see. So let's move into actual voicemails. And, we're going to have to wrap this up here pretty soon. Yep. So, Pete, whenever you're ready, go ahead and play voicemail number one.
Here we go.
Danny, Paris, Pete, just want to say thank you for everything you guys are doing. This is Bob Blast from Roanoke, Virginia. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Basically, just want to say real quick, Daily Conversations is an awesome addition to the GTR lineup. It keeps us engaged with just little chunks of information. You guys are in my top of the podcasts that I listen to on the regular, so I just want to say thank you for that. Secondly, Hopetown Stories is awesome. Loved it. And we need to see more great content like that come out. So thank you for that as well. Also want to say, as far as this last Daily Conversation, the whole political thing and someone giving you guys a bad review, man, don't worry about the haters. Haters going to hate regardless. Furthermore, I may not believe the same way you guys do, because honestly, I don't know how you guys believe. Because one, I believe you guys have done a really respectful job of not pushing some kind of agenda. And for that, I really appreciate. And never once have I been offended. And I'm not on the Trump train, but that don't matter. Because the thing is, you guys put out great content. And I love it. And thank you so much for what you do. Keep it up. Good job, guys.
Oh, thank you for the voicemail. Appreciate it. It's always good to get feedback. And for those that are listening to the show, hey, if you have a critique, positive or negative, please send it over to fan mail or to, was it SpeakPipe? I don't remember the number, so I'm not even going to try to throw it out.
Yeah, that's why I just say, Danny, play the feedback. It's all in there.
All right, so I'm going to follow up on the second voicemail. Just go ahead and throw that in there so we can keep rolling with the fan mail. Here we go.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. It's Carlos from the island of Puerto Rico. My gamer tag is Crawling Rage. I've been a big fan of you for a couple of years now, and I have a question for y'all. From all three looter shooters, gameplay-wise, just gameplay, solo gameplay, which one is the best? Which one you like the most? In order, please. Which one? I'm not talking about the story, the whole game, the end game. No, the loot, no, just gameplay-wise. I would like to know which one you like in order, please. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you for everything. I always listen to you. I'm a big fan. And please, te lo quiero un montón. I love you, man. And please, never change. Por favor, nunca cambien. And thank you for everything. See you.
I think we already know what Perry's going to talk about. So you want to line that one up or do you want me to go?
Okay, I'll go. In order from one to three, I guess is what he's basically asking. Yep. Number one is going to be Destiny. Number two is going to be the Division. Number three is going to be Anthem. Pretty simple. And the reason I say Destiny's number one, because Bungie, I mean, love or hate that game, the actual shooting, the weapons, it's always been good. It's always had a good feel. It has always been fun to go shoot aliens in the head in that game. Just always has been. I would put the Division second because of just the more tactical cover style of gameplay I enjoy as well. And again, these are one to three. I enjoy all three. They all have their fun features. I love flying in Anthem. I don't feel that the actual gunplay is that fun. It's more about the ability spamming that you can do in Anthem. I actually wish they would change the way the flight works as far as it's limited, where, you know, you can only hover for so long and then you got to drop to the ground. Maybe that stays in, but the actual free form flying, wow, that was very hard for me to say for some reason. But that, there's no penalty to that, where you can just completely fly around the map as long as you want, but maybe just give you a time limit when you can just sit there and hover, because that's all people would do in a fight, just hover above the enemies on the ground and just shoot down if you didn't have that penalty in there. But yeah, if I had to rank the three, that would be my reasons.
For what you just talked about with Anthem, I think there's a happy medium for that. In free flight, allow them to fly unlimited. But when you go into combat, that's when you start getting the limited stuff like that. I think that's a great in between happy medium place. Top three looter shooters. First place, the Division for me personally. I just enjoy the landscape and the game personally. Second, I'll go Division two, the Division in general. Third, I'm going to throw a tangent at you, Borderlands.
You got to give reasons. You're not giving a reason. You just third Borderlands. Like it was a 1980s freeze frame.
Isn't it the original looter shooter though? Think about it. Let's go back a few years back, man. That's what set the bar for looter shooters. You're jumping in, you know, you've got a fantastic, you know, DLC things, you know, like, you know, was it something Tina? What was her crazy name? She was a nut job, but the game, the ability to go out, hit boxes, find weapons that you would that you couldn't normally get, and just the fantastic story arc, the whole just Borderlands in and of itself. One and two were fantastic. I can't wait to see what Gearbox is gonna do with three, if and when it drops. And then I have to put it on there because it's been there forever. I got to put an honorary mention, Warframe.
Okay, so. I'm with you because it's your opinion. You're free to have it. I do feel like you cheated a little bit because you said Division 1 and 2. It's like, well, damn, ain't it the same style of game?
I just said the Division. How are you going to have both? I said the Division and I said Destiny 2.
No, you said Division 2.
Did I say? Okay, I apologize.
Yeah, Division 1. The chat room called you on that one.
Maybe that's why, because the Division 1 and then Destiny was my second pick. So apologies. But yeah, the Division was first, second being Destiny. Third, Borderlands, an honorary mention, Warframe. So apologies for that.
That's fair. And I can't put Warframe in there because I've never played it, even though I said at one point I would and then I didn't. And I wasn't even thinking of Borderlands until you brought it up. It actually does throw a monkey wrench into my rankings. God, do I want to change? I'll just say, you know what? There's been enough negativity out in the gaming landscape recently, so I will leave it as is. But Borderlands is a solid choice. How about that?
Awesome, awesome. All right.
So wait, is that it for voicemails? Or we got another one.
We have two more. Actually, do you want to just run through it and F it? We're gonna go key on.
Actually, looking at the time because I have to split. I can't stay for the after show or anything. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. But again, we'll play the rest of voicemails next time we're together. But again, thank you for everyone for leaving us voicemails. Thank you for everyone that's been leaving us emails and feedback in the Discord channel. We obviously didn't get to everything. I know we even had a voicemail with someone. Give a shout out to Keon. So shout out to Keon, wherever you are. We have not heard a message from you in a while, and it worries me because I know you're driving trucks, brother. So hit us up. Let us know you're okay. But as we wrap this up, again, Danny out there in Washington, D.C., hope you have fun out there, brother. And speaking of Washington, D.C., it makes me think of this. And again, I want to end this on a positive note instead of negativity. I'm very excited for the Division II because that game is right up my alley. I had the unique fortune of being part of that technical test that they had early this week, which is lead up to the open beta, which will be on March 1st. And even though I couldn't play in the dark zone or do in-game stuff, just running around that world the past couple of days was great. It just reminded me why I'm excited for that game to come out. I'm planning to do a lot of content around that. If you know how excited I've been with Destiny over the past few years, go ahead and just add that on for the Division 2. I'm planning to do a lot of stuff with that. Obviously, just their in-game trailer came out, the clan support. We will have a GTR clan. I will not promise that I'm being in the GTR clan for both platforms I plan to play on, but I will be in for one. But we'll talk about that more and have more information when that comes up. But I'm very excited for it. Looking forward to just deep diving into that world and just the custom builds that you're going to be able to do with your agents. That has me more excited than anything. So, that's my positivity as we wrap up this episode. Pete, any final words from you?
No, that's it, man. That's it. Fantastic show. Great job, dude.
Yeah, Danny wasn't here. Of course it was fantastic. That's how you do it. I say that because obviously Dan is our brother. We love him to death. And it wouldn't be GTR if we didn't tease each other, which I'll bring up as one last thing as we say that, because I know we had some concerns with a previous episode that we did where people felt like we, Pete and I potentially were ganging up on Danny or we were laughing at Danny or something like that. We do the show live on Twitch. And while one of us is talking, I know I'm guilty of this. I may be doing something goofy in the background. The other one sees it and laughs, but in no way would we ever disrespect each other's opinion because again, we value our opinions and our perspectives that we bring to the show. So anyone that may have heard a preview, because on Twitch, you can obviously see what's going on versus hearing the audio. So anyone that's listening to the show and thinking we're disrespecting the other, that is far from the truth. We all love each other. We're brothers. You know, we never take any of this stuff personally. And if something ever did happen, look, we're going to talk about that offline and we would squash it immediately. But I just want to say in that particular instance, no, there was nothing offensive about that. And like I said, we all respect our opinions and they're all valued. Despite the craziness that Danny may say sometimes, look, he's been right on some stuff. So we may say, oh, you're crazy. And then he turns out to be right. So
yep.
I just want to put that out there and let everyone know that there is absolutely no issues between the three of us. So I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Pete.
No need to add to any of that, man. It's just love you guys like brothers. I've always been a single fan. I've always been a single child. So you guys are like the brothers I've never had. So there's always been love and appreciation for all you guys. Yes, like you said, we joke and tease and we rib on each other, but it's all in love, bro. It's all in love.
Yep, 100%. So with that, see, everything's positive, happy stuff.
It all brings it together. Times.
So with that, Danny, remind everyone where they can leave us feedback and happy 14 years.
Yes.
To Gamertag Radio. Insane. And I'm just thankful that I have been able to been a part of this process along the way, and that Danny, again, I would not be here without Danny. Danny is the reason that I got into podcasting in the first place all those years ago. And then eventually, you know, got to meet Pete. You know, we're all family. 2013, I joined the show permanently, and I'm just thankful for everything. So happy birthday, GTR. And Danny, let everybody know where to leave feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So with that said, this has been episode 846. Of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris, that's Pete, and look for more content from us very soon.
Yep. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.